Toronto. What's up? How you doing? Yeah? Oh, man. It's good to be home. It's good to be home. I lived here for 7 years. I don't live here anymore, but still feels like home. You know, I still got the spirit of Drake in me. I feel it. Once Drake gets inside you, he never really leaves. But it is good to be home. I don't live here anymore. I lived here for a while, but I moved to LA a couple years ago. And that's good. I like it there. I live with my girlfriend, and she's a sweetheart, man. I love her. She's the best. She's had to make a few adjustments being with me. I'm the first guy with hearing aids she's ever dated. I think. I've never asked, but... Is it weird that I'd be jealous if I wasn't? I'd be like, was this son of a bitch deafer than me? No, it's good. She has had to make adjustments. Like, I take my hearing aids out when we go to sleep. So, you know, pillow talk is a lot different. You know? 'Cause when I take them out, like, I'm deaf. Like, I'm real deaf, so... There's no casual transition from talking into sleeping. Like, when I take my hearing aids out, talking time is over. Sleeping time has begun. We even have a little ritual we do now where before I take them out, I'll make, like, a last call. I'm like, hey, baby, you got any final thoughts on the day, or any closing remarks? Because I'm about to shut this shit down. It's not all fun and games, though. She actually said something to me recently that kind of shook me a little bit, kind of rocked me. I'd never even thought of it. She said, when we go to sleep at night, when you take your hearing aids out, I feel alone. I feel very alone. I was like, whoa, alone? Baby, no, you're not alone. Don't ever forget that. I'm right there beside you. And if anything happened in the middle of the night, anything at all, I need you to save me. You're not alone. Don't ever forget that. I need you so bad. In fact, I'm gonna need you to start sleeping with your contacts in, please. We're very vulnerable right now. I take out my hearing aids, you take out your contacts. As a unit, we've gone full Helen Keller, right? Not good. Not good. Not what you want. She's got a weird thing. When we go to sleep at night, she can't fall asleep unless the bedroom door is completely shut, even if it's slightly ajar. She just can't fall asleep. And I don't understand it. I asked her, like, why do you need that? And she's like, well, what if we, like, woke up in the middle of the night and there was just some guy in the doorway staring at us? And I was like, that's information I'd like to have. In this scenario you're envisioning, this man has already breached the front door of our apartment. So you're cool with him just rummaging around the place. Just don't look at me. That's weird, man. That's weird. So you can see we've got a lovely interpreter here. Put your hands together for Jennifer, everybody. Wonderful. Wonderful. It's nice. I wanted to have an interpreter because I do wear hearing aids and I wanted to make an accessible comedy show for everybody. Hearing, deaf, everything in between. I want everybody to be able to enjoy it. Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you appreciate that. It's a good thing because I'm hard of hearing. I actually don't sign myself. Like, I don't do sign language. I'm not good at being deaf, you know? I'm not good at hearing either. I'm like, you know, I'm like a daywalker. I don't know where I belong. So I don't really belong in the deaf community, the capital D deaf community, like full deaf. There's the hard of hearing people, the deaf people, there's a little bit of a beef, a quiet beef. A beef nonetheless. So this is my olive branch I'm trying to extend. But I'm not gonna say it's all like altruistic. It's not like I'm just that good of a guy. It's also kind of nice for me because when you have an interpreter, if there's enough deaf people in the room, what happens is you tell a joke and then the laughter comes in from the hearing people. A second later, the interpreter gets the joke out to the deaf people. Second wave of laughter comes in. That's good. That's good. Oh yeah. That's good for the ego right there. That's nice. It's a beautiful language too. I don't know much. I've learned a little bit of it, but there's just, even just little things, and this is not me trying to exploit the language at all. I'm just trying to show you how colorful it is, how beautiful some words are, like anal sex. Yeah, it's beautiful. That's nice. Yeah, it's a beautiful sign for a beautiful act. It is nice to be back. I do like living in America, though. I know that sounds a little crazy right now, but it's nice. It's nice to immerse yourself in a new culture, and. It is a new culture, that's for damn sure. When you live in Canada, you grow up here. I don't know about you guys, but I always thought, oh, these countries are pretty similar. And then you move there and you're like, oh God, no. Very different. We're obsessed with America and Canada. We get all the American media, right? American music, news, everything. When I moved there, I asked around. I said, what do you guys think about Canada? And they were all like, oh, we don't think about Canada at all. Ever. Yeah, that's cool. Even little things like Amber Alerts, when a kid goes missing, they send those right to your phone in America. I'd never had that in Canada. So the first one I got when I moved there scared the shit out of me. I thought they were contacting me directly. I was like, I don't know nothing, man. I got real defensive. I feel like I belong, though. I feel like I belong. It's only been a couple years, but I asked a friend. I said, how will I know when I belong in the United States of America? And he said, you'll know when you have your first American thought. I didn't know what that meant. Until just a few months ago, I had my first American thought, and I knew right away. I could just feel it. So pure, so beautiful. I was playing basketball. The guy I was playing against, he went to shoot. So I jumped up to block him, but he was only faking. So he went down, I went up, completely flipped over. I'm like ass over tea kettle. I was about to smash my head off the pavement, and my first thought was, oh no, I don't have health insurance. Yeah. I'm home. That's when I knew. It's a crazy thing to shop for health insurance, to move to a new country after you've been used to just, you know, being covered your whole life, moving to a new place and shopping, having to make that decision. How much is my life worth to me on a monthly basis? I shopped around. The best quote I got was $400 a month. $400 a month. I was like, I've had a good run. I'll be careful. Every day I leave the house now, I'm just like, everybody take it easy out here. Let's all get to where we're going. Totally altered my behavior. I'm a different man now, man. I don't take any chances. In America, not just the healthcare, like the guns. Guns scare, oh my God. I haven't seen any yet, but I feel them. I feel them. And it's really hard for me because I'm a pacifist, which is a fancy word for huge pussy. And, big pacifist right here. You won't meet a bigger pacifist. So I don't mess around, man. You can walk all over me now. Like in America, I'm not. Like in Canada, like if somebody cut me off on the highway in Canada, I might honk. You know, maybe give the finger if it was like really horrible, but even then, probably not honk. America, somebody cuts me off on the highway, I'm like, this lane belongs to you, good sir. I commend you for taking what's yours. I'm not dying over that shit. Are you kidding me? You do whatever the hell you want. If I cut somebody else off on the highway, oh my God, that scares me. You ever cut someone off and you know right away, you can just feel there's an angry person behind you? Oh, fuck. You gotta look up into the rearview mirror and see just how angry they are, you know? Before I look in the rearview, I always say a little prayer. I'm like, please be an old lady. Please be an old lady. Someone I know I can take, you know? But when it isn't, when you look up in that rearview mirror, if I see like an angry dude, those eyebrows, oh my God, I can feel my whole body gets hot. I start sweating. You know what I do if I see an angry man behind me on the highway? I get off the next exit. Every time I pull off, I drive off, I drive my car to the nearest empty field. I put all my identification in the glove compartment. I get out of the car, I set the car on fire, and I run away. When I first moved to America, I was lucky enough to get on a really popular TV show. And this is being taped, so I can't say the name of the show, but it's a really popular show in which celebrity judges try to determine who in America has got talent. And... a little description of the show for you there. It's a fun show. It was good, you know. You always wonder what Heidi Klum thinks about your comedy. And to finally get that answer, it was so satisfying. But, I didn't go far. I made it two rounds. I lost to a juggler. It's hard to even talk about. You always wonder if you're gonna lose to a juggler, but when it happened, it hurt so much more than you ever imagined. He was a damn good juggler, though, you know. He was, no shame, no shame. Those shows, man, they love the disability porn, you know? They loved these hearing aids, my God, they loved it. Sad violin music playing, zooming in on my hearing aids and shit, bumping into my head. I'm like, yeah. Think you got the close-up there, bud, you know? I played into it a little bit, obviously, but they wanted it, like, it was real. They love the pity, right? They're like, I don't do the pity thing. I wear a hearing aid, but, like, I'll still fuck your girl, you know what I mean? Yeah. Okay, all right. It's nice. Can't say I expected that enthusiasm for that one, but lots of swingers in the room. Now, I don't do the pity thing, but they're like, okay, so they wanted me to cry. I like couldn't cry, but they were like, they actually said, if you could cry, that would be great. And they're like interviewing me, right? And they're like, so tell us about your sad, sad life. With your mate. And I was like, no, I'm fine. I'm pretty happy. They're like, but really though, they must suck, huh? And I was like, no, I'm pretty happy though. get the fuck out of here. We're going with the juggler, you know? I get it. That's just how disability is portrayed in the media, though. That's the thing, right? There's two ends of the spectrum when we're talking about disability in the media. There's the pity over here, like, oh, look at this person, right? Leading a sad, sad life. And then there's the inspiration over here, and they're like, look at what this person has been able to accomplish despite their sad, sad life. So it's here. There's nothing in the middle, right? There's a whole spectrum in between. There's people living all sorts of lives, people living full human lives that don't get shown in the media. And I don't know, I don't like that, man. There's so much room in the middle. I'll know that we've made progress as a society when I start seeing some disabled assholes in film and television. Because disabled people are people, and some people are assholes. That's just the way it is. And that's okay. I was standing on a street corner one time, and like, I was alone on the street corner. There was plenty of room all around me. Dude in a wheelchair rolled by, rolled right over my foot. Son of a bitch had plenty of room to go around me. This guy knew exactly what he was doing. And it hurt. I don't know if you've ever had a full-grown adult roll over your big toe before. He was already in the middle of the intersection by the time I got over my pain, right? I was just seeing red. I was like, oh! And then I came to and I was like, I saw him already in the middle of the street and I was like, I'm gonna say something. And I was like, no, I'm gonna say something. And I yelled out, I was like, hey, asshole, watch where you're going. This guy stopped in the middle of the street, turned around, wheeled up to me, and I was like, oh, shit. This has already gone way further than I would have liked. Is he gonna fight me? You know, I didn't... Will I engage? I didn't know. Does he have a gun? I don't know. He comes up to me and he's like, hey, you just call me an asshole? And I was like, yeah? And he was like, thanks for seeing the real me. That's right. Beautiful. And then he rolled over my other foot, man. Popped a wheelie into the sunset. This guy was a real asshole. I say that with nothing but love in my heart. I'm not gonna say, like, my disability doesn't impact my life. I wear hearing aids, I'm deaf without them. It is a part of my life, obviously. Just, you know, I'm thankful for them more than anything. If I didn't have hearing aids, like, if I lived like 100 years ago before they were invented, I would have been deaf, or maybe I would have been like, I would have had like the early technology, I would have been like living in a village, like, I would have been the guy in the village with the giant horn in his ear. That's a tough life. Lugging a big horn around everywhere. Every conversation would have been brutal, can you imagine? Hey, DJ, how's it going? What's up? No! I was gonna tell you there's a fire in the village, but you'll figure it out. Real mean in the village. Also, if there's a fire, why are you starting with, hey, DJ, how's it going? Need a little more urgency out of you. They're fine. There's little things that are a bit hard about them, like, what? Like, they whistle. They whistle, like, if things get close to them, they'll start whistling. So if I, like, put a hat on a little too low, they'll start whistling. Or if I'm, like, laying on the couch watching TV, if I'm on the pillow in a weird way, they'll start whistling. That's no big deal. The weirdest one, you get used to that stuff, but the weirdest one was the first time that I was ever with a lady when I was a young lad, and I was performing cunnilingus, and uh, I'm curious, is there a difference between cunnilingus and eating that puss? What was that one?
Feedback.
This
woman was one of my first ASL teachers.
You were one of the first.
And she told me I just passed.
Oh, you just passed. Wow.
Wow.
That's a very interesting final exam right there. Quite the curriculum. But yeah, the first time I was performing cunnilingus, based on the difference, I definitely was performing cunnilingus. I was not eating that puss. I was new to the game, you know. But I was down there and it started, you know. I didn't know. Nobody tells. There's no separate section of sex ed class where they're like, hey, everybody who wears hearing aids in here, just a heads up. You're gonna whistle while you work, you know? It doesn't happen. No. It doesn't happen. I just remember being so embarrassed. I was down there. And I was like, oh, and I like tried to play it off. I was like, is somebody gonna get that kettle or what? Trying to do something here. My girl now is cool though, man. She'll make jokes about it. I'll be down there. Just a couple weeks ago, I was down and her legs got close, and she was like, did you just fire up an episode of the Andy Griffith Show down there? What's happening? Did you just ease my insecurities while making an Andy Griffith Show reference? Girl's trying to get wifed up. I take them out when I get a haircut, too. I actually love it now, man. There's so many times in my life where I love taking out my hearing aids, going full death mode. It's awesome. You guys don't know what you're missing. Sometimes, like, I take them out during a haircut now, chill out. But when I was younger, it used to embarrass me. Like, I'd go get a haircut, and I'd have to let the barber know, like, I'm gonna take him out. And it just felt, I felt different, you know? And I remember this one time in particular, because a lot of people associate hearing aids with being older. They don't know that young people have them. And I went in for a haircut to this barber shop I'd never been to before. And I was maybe like 19 or 20, I was a pretty young guy. And I go into this barber shop, and it was called Tito's. And I go into the barbershop, and there's just one barber working, an older gentleman, like, no exaggeration, maybe like 80, 85 years old. Like, he was an older man, and his name was Tito. And I think he owned the joint. But I go in, and I said, hey, I sat down in the chair. I'm like, nice to meet you, Tito. Just letting you know I'm going to have to take my hearing aids out while you cut my hair, so I'm not going to be much of a conversationalist. And he looked at me as I was taking them out. He's like, what? Hearing aids? What? Why do you wear the hearing aids? You're too young for hearing aids. And he was Greek, by the way. I'm not good at accents. But he said, you're too young for the hearing aids. And I said, no, I'm not. I've had them since I was 4 years old, so I'm not too young. I've had them for quite some time. And I took out my hearing aids. And he, like, still couldn't believe it. Like, twice during the haircut, twice, had my hearing aids out. He leaned in while he was cutting my hair, and right in my ear, he was like, can you hear me now? Yeah, I can hear you, Tito. I can feel you. You're inside my ear right now. You weirdo. I put my hearing aids in when the haircut ended, and I was like, what's going on, man? I wear hearing aids. Like, I'm not lying. That'd be a weird lie to make up. And he's like, why you wear the hearing aids? You're too young for the hearing aids. And I was like, no, I'm not. I've had him since I was four. I'm not. And he's like, ah. And I saw like a light bulb go off in his head, and he like finally understood. And he was like, ah, I guess sometimes even babies get cancer, huh? I was like, I guess so. I don't think you could have chosen a sadder analogy there, but I guess so, Tito, you goddamn weirdo. I got a cool barber now in LA. I've been seeing him since the beginning. He's a good guy, man. I love this guy. From the beginning, we developed a ritual. I go in, his name's Nick. I go, hey, Nick, nice to see you. Right away, I'm like, all right, dude, I'm going full death mode. He's like, catch you on the other side, brother. Warms my heart. I like living in LA. It's fun, man. I've changed. It's only been a couple years, but things have... I don't drink as much anymore. I used to drink when I lived in Toronto, man, as a comedian. I don't know, me and all my comedian buddies, we just got drunk after shows. Nobody really gets drunk there. First comedian friend I met, I didn't even understand. After a show, I was like, hey, man, after the show, you want to grab a beer? And he was like, oh, no, thanks, I'm sober. And I was like, yeah, so am I. That's why I want to get a beer. I'm trying to rectify the situation here. I've cut down on the drinking. That's for the best. I'm starting to eat healthier now, too. Cut down on the bacon. That's not, like, I'm not joking. Like, I know a lot of people say they love bacon, but, like, I love bacon, man. Like, I was up to 2 packs a week. 2 packs a week of bacon. Too much bacon. I was snacking on bacon. It wasn't even meals. I was snacking. Once you're snacking on bacon, that's too much bacon. So I cut down. I still eat it, though. It's tough. I'm not an idiot. I know pigs are beautiful creatures. I don't want to eat that many pigs, you know? They're in a tough spot, man. Being that intelligent, that adorable, and that delicious, that... I feel bad for them. So I've cut down, but I still eat bacon. I haven't been able to totally eradicate it, but you know what I do now? It makes me feel better. Every time I eat bacon, I always fry it up shirtless. I take my shirt off, and I just let the grease hit me, you know? Got scars all over my body, man. I'm at the beach. My friends are like, what happened here? I'm like, atonement. What happened? I knew I had to cut down on the bacon because I learned at a young age you don't pour the bacon grease down the sink. It clogs up the drains or whatever. That's the most I learned. I don't know anything more than that. I just learned to pour them into a jar, but nobody ever told me what to do with the jar, so I just have jars of bacon grease all over my apartment. Look like a goddamn serial killer. I don't know what to do with them. I'm gonna start up a candle making business or something, I don't know. Make a killing on Etsy. Started moisturizing too, that's a big change, my God. But the moisturizer I bought is good. It doesn't say moisturizer anywhere on the bottle. It's called Facial Fuel. It's a manly name right there. My friends are like, your skin's looking supple. You been moisturizing? Nah, man. I would never do that. Been fueling my goddamn face, man. It's like a 67 Chevy Camaro. It needs fuel, man. I like working out, too. I've been hitting the gym. I think comedians are supposed to say they don't like working out. I like it, man. I love going to the gym. I take my hearing aids out at the gym. I go full deaf mode there, too. Don't have to listen to the shitty music. I'm in the zone, man. It's great. I get on the machine, the elliptical. Oh my God, I love the elliptical. You guys ever been on this? I don't know what muscle I'm working. I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm just gliding through the air. I'm sweating. I have no idea why. What a wonderful machine. I had a guy, I think he was an employee at my gym. He walked up to me while I was on the elliptical, and he had a clipboard, so I think he had a survey or something to fill out, and he walks up to me with it, but I had my hearing aids out, and he walks up and he tried asking me a question, and I'm like, oh, I can't, I'm deaf. But he didn't walk away. This guy starts signing at me. He knew sign language. So I was like, I don't sign either. And he was like, he was so confused. He's like, but he said he's deaf, but he doesn't sign. And he was talking to me. Probably still trying to figure it out, man. I do like the gym. I can't get behind the Fitbit, though. I don't judge anybody for their lifestyle choices. That ain't what I do. But the Fitbit, man. I have a hard time with the Fitbit. Whenever somebody starts talking to me and I see they wear a Fitbit, I'm like, I'm about to talk to someone who needs a device to remind them to walk every day. What other mundane daily task do you need a device to help you with? You know? How can I even trust that this conversation is real? Maybe there's some sort of word quota you're trying to hit for the day, you know? What's that on the other wrist? You got a chit-chat bit over there? What's going on? Looks like you're at 10,000 words. You should shut the hell up, you know? A lot of guys wearing tight clothes at the gym now. That's progress. Not even just at the gym, out in public. Guys are allowed wearing tight clothes now? Man, society, moving forward. That's good. That's good. Because, like, I grew up, you know, high school, early 2000s, we were wearing baggy clothes. If I would have shown up to school wearing leggings one day, wouldn't have been a very fun day. But now it's okay, man. Guys are wearing the tight stuff. You got to tip your hat to the first company that made it okay. The first company that recognized for years men have been looking at women in spandex and we've been thinking, damn, that looks comfortable. If only there was some way I was allowed to wear that. But no, I can't wear spandex. And then this company came along and they said, what if we told you it's not spandex? What if we told you it's actually armor? Real tough stuff, like a tank or an armadillo. Armor. Under armor, right? Under is a key word there too. They were so smart. Under armor? They were like, yeah, just wear it under your other clothes there. It'll be our little secret, buddy. No one has to know. Under armor. Now it doesn't even have to be Under Armour. Guys are wearing everything. Guys are walking around on these streets wearing Lululemon. No repercussions. What a time to be alive, man. What a time to be alive. I just wish guys would be more honest. Some guys are honest about it, but you still got guys who won't admit. They just like how it feels. You know what I mean? It's fine, man. It hugs your skin. It makes you feel like Batman. I get it. Still got guys making up athletic reasons. You're like, no, I need to wear this. It's for elite athletic performance. It helps wick away my perspiration and keeps me aerodynamic out there. I'm like, aerodynamic? Dude, you're on the elliptical right beside me. You're slicing through the wind. You're good, buddy. It's a hell of a machine. It just makes you feel sexy. That's okay. It's fine to admit. I got one of the shirts recently. Not super tight, but way tighter than I've ever had. I get it. It feels fantastic. I haven't gotten the pants yet. I haven't come around. It's still a bit jarring for me to see an exact outline of your dick and balls in a public club. That's on me. That's me. Small price to pay for progress. I got a bigger ego than I thought, I realized recently. Because I was watching this documentary on a cult. And I found myself identifying with the leader way too much. You know, they were showing him in these scenes where I knew I was supposed to think he was a bad guy, but I was like, I get it. I get it. Man, being a cult leader. I'd just love to be in a cult, man. It looks so fun. I haven't finished this documentary yet, but it starts out so good. Oh, God. What a treat that would be. Like, I'm sick of trying to figure shit out, you know? I'm 32 years old. If some charismatic person walked up to me and was like, hey, man, I got all the answers. Follow me. I'd be like, thank God. I've been waiting for you, man. God. Being a cult leader would be amazing. Oh, my God. Can you imagine people calling you their leader? What a drug that would be. How intoxicating. Leader. What a word. People are like, this guy? This guy's my leader. I give him all my money. He has sex with my wife. I love this guy. What a dream. I don't have the confidence to be a cult leader, though. That's super confident. That's like the most confident you can be, you know? Like, to tell people you know what's going on. That's the most, 100% on the confidence scale. I'm at like 75% on that. Like, I'm like a teenage magician confidence, you know? Yeah. Which is still very confident, don't get me wrong. I don't know if you've ever met a teenage magician, but they got the world by the balls, man. Too much power, too young. I get my ego boost in little day-to-day activities. That's where I really, you know, those moments where you just get that, you can feel your ego go up. Like, you know what I love? You ever, you're like talking to someone and you use a big word and you can tell that they register it, where they're like, oh shit, I didn't know he knew that word. Man, what a rush. I don't mean like going too big. These assholes who use a word that they know you're not gonna know, like way too big, and then it disrupts the whole flow of the conversation, and then you gotta ask what it means. No, I'm not talking like that. I had a friend, he was like, hey, you seen Sheila lately? She's been looking really lugubrious. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. And then of course I had to be like, what's lugubrious mean? And he's like, sad. Sheila's been looking really sad. I was like, well, then just say sad. You lugubrious sack of shit. No, I'm talking when it's the perfect big word. Like when you're a fan of big words, not the egotism aspect. I mean like when you come in with that. I was at this little, there's rules by the way, when you're using a big word. Like, you can't go, like, if let's say you use a big word and it didn't get the response you were looking for, move on, you know? Don't use that word again a couple minutes later. We heard it the first time. Humiliating. I fell asleep once. I was kind of, like, half asleep on the couch, and there was some talk show on, like, some panel show, a host and some guests, and the first guest came on, this lady. She came in hot. The big word, right? She comes on, she says hello to the host, and they start talking, and she's like, well, America has always been at the vanguard of democracy. And I like snapped awake. I was like, whoa, vanguard? That's a good word right there. Not too big, only two syllables, but it packs a punch. Vanguard, what a word. Not even 2 minutes later, she was talking about some other subject, and she's like, well, he's always been at the vanguard of feminism. I was like, ew. Vanguard again? Poor lady only knows one big word. Ooh, our drinks were in sync there. That was nice. Don't know what you said, but I think it was drinks. She can't really talk, because then who's going to interpret for her, you know? It's in a tough spot over there. Like if I said, hey, this is Jennifer talking, and I think DJ's the best comedian I've ever seen. Her hands are tied. There's not a lot she can do there. Thank you so much. No, I'm talking that perfect big word. I'm still talking about big words here, you know? You know when you're like, okay, I gotta tell you, I'm at this little get-together one time, talking to a couple buddies of mine, and we were talking about a mutual friend of ours who fell on some hard times, but he's doing great now. So we were talking about him, and I was like, I'm so happy he's doing well, because for a while there, he was right on the precipice. And it made an impact. Nobody said anything, but I could see they were both like, oh, shit, precipice, okay. Nobody said anything. We moved on. I got the ego boost. It was a beautiful moment, man. But my problem is after I use a big word, I get real possessive. Like I feel a sense of ownership. Like if I'm talking to you and I use a big word, I don't want to hear you using that word. That's my word. Like 20 minutes later, one of the guys I had been talking to, he was talking to some new girl who wasn't there earlier when I was talking, and I'm walking by, and I overhear him talking to her, and he's like, oh yeah, he's great now, but for a while, he was right on the precipice. The fuck? And I was like, hey man, can I talk to you for a second over here? He's like, what's up? I'm like, what's up? You're using precipice now? Okay. You didn't even know that word 20 minutes ago, dude. He's like, I did too. I'm like, you did not. He's like, I did too. Stop admonishing me. All right. Okay. That's a good one. That's on me. That's my bad. I didn't realize I was talking to a fellow sesquipedalian over here. That's on me. That's on me. Yeah. A sesquipedalian, by the way, is someone who likes using big words. Feel free to use that one at a party if you feel like losing a few friends. Especially if your friends are ASL interpreters and you've just been making them fingerspell big words for the last 5 minutes. They're laughing too hard. Did you just say something to me there? You know what I like even more than the big words? I like when somebody catches me doing something like physically amazing. You know, like those like little moments of greatness in your day-to-day life. Like that just happened. Like you ever throw something into a garbage can from like 10 feet away and it goes in and somebody sees it? I live for that shit. Oh my God. When somebody sees those moments, it's gotta be accidental though. Like you can't tell people you're about to do something amazing. These people, man. You know when somebody says, hey, watch this. Watch it. Whenever somebody says, hey, watch this, I'm like, I hope you fail so bad right now. One time my buddy was like, hey, watch this. And he threw a peanut M&M in the air. He threw it like 10 feet in the air, opened his mouth. The M&M came down, hit his front tooth, broke his tooth in half. Oh my God, it was incredible. Oh. Oh. Yeah. I was like, thank you so much for telling me to watch that. I needed that. Now, it's gotta be accidental. That's what makes it amazing, the random moment of greatness. I was at this party one time. This dude had a backpack on. He turned around quickly. His backpack knocked this full bottle of red wine off the table. And I'm just watching it fall, and then right before it hit the ground, I just reacted, and I caught it, and I felt like God in this moment. And I looked up to see if he noticed, but he was still turned around, so he didn't. So I was like, shit. So I started looking around the party to see if anybody else noticed. Nobody's looking. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now? It's like 30 people in here, man. I'm starting to get that sinking feeling of unrecognized greatness, you know? I'm like, come on. Finally, in the far corner of the room, through like a maze of faces, I see these two ladies, but then I think they were like talking to each other, but they were both looking at me, and through the crowd, they were trying to get my attention, and then we locked eyes, and they were both like, nice catch. That was 8 years ago. I still think about it every day. Every single day. Yeah. It's not just about ego in those moments. It's a community. It's a bond. I even love when I'm on the other side of it, when I witness somebody else's greatness, to be part of that special moment. I was at the Grand Canyon one time. There's a dude like 20 feet away from me. We were both like close to the edge. A gust of wind came, blew his hat off his head, and before it fell into the Grand Canyon, he grabbed it. And he was jacked. Like right away he grabbed it and he started looking around to see if anybody saw. And whose eyes did he meet first? This lucky son of a bitch right here. He looked over at me and I was like, that's a bond that will never be broken, man. We write twice a month, man. His kids are growing up so fast. Because I understand how it feels when you do something incredible and you're home alone. You know that feeling when you do something amazing and you know no one's ever gonna see it? Those are probably my darkest hours. Because you can't, like, if you're home alone and you do something, you can't, like, call a friend after. Like, you can't be like, oh my God, I just opened the kitchen cupboard and two glasses fell out and I caught them at the same time, man. Your buddy's just like, you gotta stop doing this, dude. No, you're alone with it. That's your burden to bear. I slipped in a shower one time. I was in a hotel. It's my fault, man. I'm soaping off. Soap slipped out of my hand, so I turned to grab it, and I turned too quick, and it was a slippery shower, and I was just in the air, like airborne. I thought I was dead. I started flailing. My hand miraculously grabbed onto one of those metal bars that are sometimes in the shower for this exact situation, I believe, and grabbed onto it, completely changed my trajectory. I ended up landing on one knee. I couldn't even believe I was alive. I was like, I look behind me, I'm like, no way. The soap is still falling. Caught the soap, just rain pouring down on me like a Greek god, you know? Oh my God. Oh my God. And I knew immediately it was the greatest moment of my life. Like, even future, I could see into the future in that moment, and I knew nothing would ever top it, and this euphoria I felt was unbelievable. And then I realized nobody would ever see it. And this wave of sadness came over me. And it was in that moment when I realized we need government surveillance everywhere. That's right. That's right. Inside, outside, we got satellites, let's use them, you know? Every time I do something incredible, I want to be able to be like, whoa! Yo, email that to me. Toronto, you guys have been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much.